Change the clock just in time for a long fit.
A longer fit, right.
Just in time.
Just in time, make sure. Save by the bell. Skin your teeth. It is not fun to fast. Fasting is not fun.
Fasting is like 10 o'clock in the afternoon. When you start to fast at 9 o'clock at night, that's a little heat.
Only Esther.
Only Esther?
Kind of Esther.
Okay, everybody said, Parsha Zohar. Let's learn some basic halacha. Is Parsha Zohar a mitzvah d'oraisa or is it a mitzvah d'rabbanan? So, the mitzvah, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to remember what Amalek has done to us. Let me read the words. So, not the Rambam says it's not d'oraisa. The Rambam and a long list of Rishonim are of the opinion that it is not d'oraisa. Parsha Zohar is only midrabbanan. Why is it not d'oraisa? The Pashto says you have to be able to, willing to kill the enemy. And today, we don't even know who the enemy is. Who says that it's very difficult to identify who is Amalek? At the end of davening, in the good Sidurim, there are the Sheish Zichiros. Six things that you're supposed to remember. Alright, you go in, there are different... There are, if you want to make a long list, a comprehensive list, you can probably come up with 50 things that you're supposed to remember every single day. Okay, but in Nusach Ashkenaz, the common accepted halacha is there are sheish zichiros. Here in the art scroll Sidur, it writes, Nochoin loymar sheish zichiros b'chol yom. It's proper, and this take from Shulchan Aruch, to recite the sheish zichiros every single day. So let's read just the words of Parsha. We should just know the words of the Parsha. Zohar, this is a command. Zohar, you shall, it's written in the command form. The grammatical form of the word zohar is a command. Zohar, I am commanding you to remember. As we just finished learning, the word zohar is not a simple word to translate. Eis asher osol lecha Amalek baderech bitzeischem mimitzroyim. Remember what Amalek did to you when you left Egypt. What now the pasuk goes on to describe what exactly they did. Asher, the following is a description of what they have done. Korecha baderech, they happened by accident, by coincidence, to meet you on the road. Vayizanev b'cha, they cut off. The word vayizanev means literally to cut, like a tail, a zonav. A zonav is a tail. A tail is at the end. They cut off the people at the end. So vayizanev b'cha, they attack the rear. Right? That's what I was trying to come to. They cut off the tail, so to speak. It's a complex word. The word vayizanev is not an easy word to translate. From the context, it has the connotation of cutting off. And the word zonav, the root of the word is a tail, a zonav. And when we take these two ideas together, the context of the pasuk with the word zonav, the translation, the simple translation is they cut off people at the tail end. People that were stragglers, pretty much. Vayizanev b'cha, it wasn't just stragglers, kol ha-nechesh sholim acharecha. The weak and feeble, the vulnerable. So the pasuk seems to say it very simply, there were two elements to their crime, two acts of cowardice. Number one, they went to attack only those that the stragglers on the perimeter of the camp, people that were at the tail end. And even amongst the people that were at the tail end, they only attacked those who were vulnerable, those that were weak and easy prey. Now you have to appreciate that in ancient times, this means you're a real coward. Because in ancient times, people, when they went to war, there was pride, there was dignity, there was honor. You didn't just stab someone in the back. That's not the way you go to war. It's not. That's not the way. Today maybe that's the way. I don't know. That's take advantage. That's how. What?
Guerrilla warfare.
That's how it is said.
Do whatever you can.
Right. There's a lot to discuss. But to go out and just kla'achar yad. Oh, we happened to meet you. This was not premeditated. We happened to just come korchom. Korcho is a mikra. It was a chance occurrence. They happened to be there. We happened to be passing through. So on a whim. Oh, let's go and have some fun today. Let's go attack the Jews. And they go and they see the mighty, mighty nation. We're not gonna try, commit suicide. Go to the elite. We'll just go take out some people, some stragglers.
Stragglers weren't covered by the clouds of glory?
Not necessarily. They were some of them were sent out for bad behavior. They were sent out of the Anani HaKavod, exactly. Indeed, that's what Chazal said. They were able to only to attack those that were not under the protective shelter of the Anani HaKavod because they were sent out for different reasons. And so they attacked people at the tail end. And even amongst those people, they only attacked those that were vulnerable. So it was an act of cowardice. It was a disgusting, especially knowing the reputation of Klal Yisrael, the Am HaNivchar. How dare you, like thugs. They had no sense of appreciation. Kol HaNechesh Sholim HaChadecha, all the stragglers that were with all, Vayizanev B'cha. See, if you look at this expression, there are two words, Vayizanev and Acharecha. Those two words together tell us that they attacked the tail end of the Jewish people, including b'cha kol hanechesh shalim, all those that were weak, cholosh, that were weak and feeble. And furthermore, v'ata, you, the Jewish people, oyev v'yogeya. Two words, which are hard to define what those words are, the difference, the precise difference between those two words. You were weak, you were tired, you were traveling in the desert, you were exhausted. So they took advantage. So you take everything here together, it's an act of cruelty to take advantage of a people who are exhausted, tired, hungry, and only to attack the vulnerable who are easy targets because they're at the tail end of the Jewish people.
It's animalistic. When you have herds that are going over the plains, you would have in those stragglers and wolf packs would attack basically those when they see a straggler.
Exactly. So that's exactly what Amalek did. Three different ideas. Three different elements are coming together.
What Barbanel explains is that it was up to that point, rules of engagement were to declare war.
Right, exactly. War is glory.
Here they just, no war.
They even made appointments to fight.
Exactly. They made a set times. Yeah. And they made a place. This is the battlefield. This is where we will go, like in the movies. This is like, there was glory. There was glory. There was dignity in war. And here they did something that was just disgusting. They took advantage of Klal Yisrael being exhausted. They attacked the weak and feeble who were stragglers. Now, the next words are very complex. Below. We have to know the Pshad and the Pasuk. That's part of the mitzvah. The basic part of the mitzvah is to know the translation of the words. V'lo yorei Elokim. And there was not fear of Elokim. Who is the subject of these three words? Is this a reference to the Amalekim? And the essence, the definition of the Amalekim is they are people who have no fear of God. Or are these words a criticism of Klal Yisrael or an explanation of how something like this could happen? Because you were not Yorei Elokim. The reason why this tragedy occurred, that you lost, that there was a war, and many people died, it seemed, people died because of this, is because Klal Yisrael was lacking in Yirah Shamayim. Yes. So this is a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim learn v'lo yorei elokim. I think Rashi learns that v'lo yorei elokim goes on a molek. V'lo yorei elokim. if I'm not mistaken, it goes on Amalek. Amalek, the Amalekim were not Yirei Elokim. And that, according to that interpretation, it sets a very powerful tone. The reason why the nation of Amalek must be obliterated is because the Torah testifies about them, clear as day, these are people who have absolutely no sense of fearing Hashem. On the other hand, other Rishonim say that this pasuk is giving Musar to Klal Yisrael.
Rashi says Amalek.
Amalekim. Now, that it's a statement. That is a very big difference. If you learn like the Rishonim that say, V'lo Yarei Elokim goes on Klal Yisrael, we have to appreciate that it's a super magnification of a teeny, thank you very much, of a teeny, teeny minor imperfection. We go mamash mikotze el kotze. If, again, the subject of V'lo Yarei Elokim is referring to Amalek, the Torah is telling us, Amalek does not possess even one iota of Yiras Elokim. And thus, there's no hope for these people. If you learn that the subject of these three words refers to Klal Yisrael, how can you say about Klal Yisrael that they have no Yiras Elokim? That is impossible. So what it means then is, it's a super, super magnification of a teeny, teeny, teeny little imperfection in the Yiras Elokim of Klal Yisrael, which is Musar to us, if we want protection in this world from our enemies and we want success, we have to improve and perfect our Yiras Elokim. Okay, then the pasuk goes on, V'hoyo, it will be B'honiach Hashem Elokecha L'cha Mikol Evecha Misaviv. The word B'honiach means rest. Lashon of Menucha, when Hashem will give you rest from all of your enemies. Now notice it says, Mikol Oyevecha, the mitzvah that we're going to mention will only be triggered when we get rid of all the other enemies. Amalek is the icing on the cake. He comes at the end. Hashem will give us rest. We have a lot of enemies, a lot. When Hashem will give us rest from our other enemies, now we will have an obligation to seek out Amalek and take revenge for what they did to Klal Yisrael when they left the desert. Hashem will give you rest from all of the surrounding lands. Ba'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha Nachala L'Rishto, that will give to you as an inheritance, a possession as inheritance. At that point in time, when you have no other enemies, when the Palestinians stop making trouble, and the Arabs stop making trouble, and Edom stops making trouble, then, even though Amalek is part of Edom, Timche, this is a very powerful word. Timcha means to erase. To erase. Completely. It doesn't say to. There are so many words in Tanakh. So many words that describe defeating your enemy. To crush them, to destroy them, to break them, to shatter them, to shake them. I mean, there's almost no limit to the number of words you find in Tanakh to describe how one can defeat an enemy. And yet, for whatever the reason, the Torah here says something very precise, timche, to erase. And I leave it to your imagination what exactly that means, timche. Now comes next words, ezecher amolek mitachas hashamayim, the remembrance of Amalek from beneath heaven, and lo tishkach. Now we'll go backwards. How does lo tishkach differ than zohar? Okay? That's one big topic of discussion, not for now, but here there appears to be two separate mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Zohar, what they have done, and Lo Tishkach, your obligation to destroy them. The similar thing the pasuk tells us, remember what they did, that's Zohar. And the obligation to remember that you have an obligation to destroy them, obliterate them, fits under the framework, the umbrella of Lo Tishkach. Now, what about Zecher Amalek? What does that mean? What? What?
Why is Lo Tishkach referring to?
Because that's the context of the pasuk. That's the end of the pasuk. V'hoya. The last pasuk is V'hoya will be. V'honich Hashem Elokecha L'cha Mikol Oyvecha Misaviv. V'aretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein L'cha Nachla L'Rishta. The last expression is Timche. Now you shall erase. Es Zecher Amalek Mitachas Hashemayim. Lo Tishkach. Lo Tishkach is the conclusion of this expression of you shall erase. Do not.
You're going to erase right. The memory, right. Then you have
no,
to remember.
No, so don't forget that you have an. Right now, they're still around. And therefore, do not forget your obligation. Do not forget that when Hashem will give you peace, when the day will come, when Klal Yisrael will suffer, will be rewarded with peace and tranquility in Eretz Yisrael, and no one will be bothering us, don't just sit back and do nothing. It will now be time to launch an investigation to find those people out there in the world who are Amalekim, and to seek them out and erase them from the face of this earth. Don't forget that. Don't forget that when you're living, it's a very simple idea, because you can be misled. If you were living in Eretz Yisrael and no one is bothering us, we're peaceful people. If we're sitting there at Yisrael and there's prosperity and everyone has parnasa and everyone can do their freedom, do whatever you want to do, and you can go to the Beis HaMikdash and the goyim are not, the whole security industry goes down the drain. No one has any need for security guards. You don't need a security guard. No one's coming to harm you. Don't just, wonderful, and go to morning kollel every day. No, now the time has come for basic training. Now, when you're at peace and tranquility and there are no security guards outside and the doors are no longer locked at 10 o'clock over here, and everything, the security industry comes crashing down, the whole economy of the world will be shaken up. If there's no, the security industry is one of the biggest service industries in the world. And if that comes to an end, what's going to happen to all these jobs? But whatever it is, don't sit back and go to morning kollel. Then it will be time for basic training and learning how to be a sniper and to use weapons of mass destruction to go and seek out the Amalekim and obliterate them. Don't make any mistake about this. Lo tishkach. It sounds a little brutal. It sounds against what we're used to, but that's what it says in the Torah. Unless you want to find some other interpretation, look at the Rishonim, that's the Shuddah Shel Mikra. Now, the question over here is, what's the word? What are we supposed to erase? The Zecher Amalek. We all know that in our shuls, the Mishnah Berurah writes, Da, his words are, you shall know, that we do not know if the correct girsa is Zecher or Zecher. Zecher, not Zohar. No, Zohar is for sure wrong. Zohar is a male. There is no one. Zohar is incorrect. Timche and Zohar Amalek will mean the males of Amalek. Yoav made this mistake, and Yoav killed his Rebbe. Yoav murdered his Rebbe because his Rebbe taught him Zohar Amalek, the males of Amalek. There is no such girsa. If it were to say Zohar, it would mean only murder, only execute, only erase the males of Amalek. No such thing. It's either Zecher Amalek or it's Zecher Amalek. The Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim writes, Da, know that there is no Hechra. We do not know what is correct. Now you'll say the Aleppo Codex. The Aleppo Codex, by the way, that page mysteriously disappeared for some strange reason. We don't have it in front of us, but there are people who have records of what it did say, and they claim it says Zecher Amalek. They claim that in the Aleppo Codex, it said Zecher, even though we don't have it today, no one can prove this, but there seem to be pretty good proof that it said Zecher Amalek in the Aleppo Codex. And the Aleppo Codex is Ben Osher. What did it say in Ben Naphtali? Okay, this is something, an ongoing debate, and I once spoke to Rabbi Belsky. He says to me, he told me, the Mishnah, he says to me, it says, my yes will help me, by Har Sinai, Ashonoi, Eshen HaKivshon. So he said to me, Vayal Ashono Eshen HaKivshon. Should really say, that's not the correct grammar, it should really say, Vayal Ashono Kioshon HaKivshon, not Kieshen. He told me this whole grammar, just try to explain what it means, but he says that pasuk there is a pretty strong indication. I don't remember all the details. I remember on a Friday afternoon, he was getting into a car. He was explaining this all to me. As he was getting into a car, is a very strong raya that really it should be Zecher Amalek, not Zecher Amalek. Why don't we say Parashah Zohar, the first word? The word Zohar is the first word of the Parashah. Zohar Eis Asher Osal Lecha Amalek. The word Zohar means to, it's a command. You're right, saying it means it's a command. You shall remember. You shall remember. And what are you supposed to do? You shall remember. Do not forget to erase the Zecher Amalek or the Zecher Amalek. Okay, so the question is, so what do? We say the part now, we say it twice. What should you say twice? So there are different customs. One custom is just to say the word alone. Timche es zecher zecher amolek. That's one custom. Another custom is you say the expression. Timche es zecher amolek. Timche es zecher amolek. And today, for some reason, it's become very fashionable to repeat the entire pasuk. Rav Moshe, with the Shem Hashem, the whole pasuk. Yeah. Rav Moshe says that it's not correct to repeat the entire pasuk. Right. It's written in the last volume of the Tshuvas, which came out probably over 20 years since he died. They put out another volume of Igros Moshe. And they have there a letter from Igros Moshe. Some question its authenticity. Right. But Rav Moshe says that it's not correct to repeat the entire pasuk. Because you're giving it too much, giving it too much legitimacy. In other words, the understanding is there's only one correct way to say it. There's only one correct. We don't know what it is. So if you're going to say the pasuk twice, it's almost as if you're saying they're both correct. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. That's not true. If a Baal Kriya makes a mistake, does he repeat the whole pasuk? Yechapim, on the spot.
Right.
He says the wrong word on the spot. He corrects himself. You don't repeat the whole pasuk.
Right.
So one of these expressions is wrong. So why are you repeating the whole pasuk? So if that's the case, why not just say Timche es Zecher Zecher Amolek? Rav Moshe says that doesn't sound good. It sounds like you're creating a new pasuk. If you're going to say Timche, you shall remember, you shall erase as Zecher Zecher Amolek, the remembrance of the Zecher Amolek. It sounds like you are creating a new pasuk that does not exist. The correct thing, which is a correct thing, is to repeat the expression. That way you're not giving the mistake too much legitimacy. You say the pasuk twice, it sounds like this is correct and this is correct. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Rav Moshe says that's not so. There's no such thing as both being correct in the pasuk in Chumash. There's drush, machshava, but in the reading of the Mesorah, there's only one way to read the word. Don't make up new things that don't exist. You can have drush and I'll look at the zachen, but now when it comes to the way you read a pasuk, there's only one way. There's one way is a mistake, and the correct thing is to correct the expression. And the same thing goes for the Megillah. In the Megillah, there are two things that.
On this one, why is Zecher first and Zecher second?
There's no Kedima.
It becomes that you corrected the Zecher.
No, it doesn't mean. If you're doing a Lekavon to do both, the one has to go first. One has to go first. You can possibly do about that. Most shuls typically say Zecher first because in the Chumashim it says Zecher. And it seems that at least Ashkenazim, if you're only going to say one, say Zecher. Okay, it's more accepted to be correct. Now, you should know there are minhagim, they don't repeat it. Once you're going to start repeating that word, you can read how many words you can repeat. There's no end. There's no end to the number of words you repeat. I know with Eileen, we once had a whole story. And to make a long, the whole crazy thing happened. And as an outgrowth of what happened, there's a new policy was handed down by the Rosh HaYeshiva. And that is, if the Baal Kriya makes a mistake when he lanes, correct him.
Right.
And in fact, now we have a guy standing there by the Bima whose job is just that. One guy. The other guy is not, he's thinking about who's getting the next, his mind is not there. The guy by Rishon, his mind, it's not his job. The guy, everyone, every shul is different. I lane, the guy by Rishon, his mind is elsewhere. He's worried about the politics, who gets the next aliyah, this, that. That's where he is, okay? The other gabbai is a real shtarka ben Torah, and he knows how to read. He can lane himself. He can lane the parish himself. So why isn't he laning? I don't know why he's not laning himself. But he stands there, and he's the one. He has final veto power. It's his job to correct.
If he makes a mistake and finishes the pasuk, then he goes to the beginning or goes to his mistake?
If he did not say Hashem's name in passing, then you go back where you made the mistake from. You do not need to repeat the entire pasuk. And you should not. You just go back to where you made the mistake.
Right.
If you said already Hashem's name, then you go back to the beginning of the pasuk. Because of Hashem's name. You can't go say you fair. If you say you finished the first, right? You finished the first, and then you go back to the beginning of the pasuk. If you know how to do it correctly. If you're going to botch that up, many times the Baal Kriya who makes mistakes with territory, if you're going to tell him to go back to the beginning of the Pasuk, he'll get even more confused. So sometimes don't go back. If you make a mistake, even though you said Hashem's name, it's okay. You're not saying Hashem's name in vain. You're saying it part of the Kriya. The ideal thing to do is, like you said, if you make a mistake and then you say Hashem's name and they correct you after you already said Hashem's name, the correct thing is to finish the Pasuk, go back to the beginning. But not every Baal Kriya is swift and is fluent in the Kriya that he knows how to do that smoothly. Smoothly. To finish the Pasuk, to know where to stop, you caught off track. You know, you get all nervous. You get all off base, off beat, and then to go back. If the Baal Kriya, your assessment is, and even he himself can make that assessment. If I'm now going to go try get all finish end of the process and go back to the beginning, it's very likely I'll end up making 10 more mistakes in the process. So you know what? Just go back to where you made the mistake. And say Hashem's name twice, and it's fine. That's not called being Moitzi Shem. It's not the ideal thing to do, but it's okay. It's okay. These are all the rules. About it. So what's the policy they made there in the yeshiva? There's a guy there that he's in charge of correcting, but anyone in the audience, of course, Baal Kriya makes a mistake, you shall correct him. Let's say they finish the aliyah, and the fellow makes the bracha acharoina. This happens every so often, and someone from the audience comes up and says, excuse me, Baal Kriya, I think he's made a mistake. You said this and not that. So when you begin the next aliyah, go back a couple of psukim and read the pasuk again. The policy is too little, too late. You're right. The oilam was not yoytzei that word. Whatever that means. I don't know what that means exactly. You're right. The oilam was not yoytze. It's a mu'uvos she'eino yochol liskoin. Oh, what do you mean she'eino yochol liskoin? Just go back three psukim and read the psukim again. No. Go back three psukim. Everyone gets confused. Where are you starting from? And then, once you went back to read that word, there's another word. You go back this word. And then when you finish the whole parasha, they told you, I think in the beginning of the parasha, you made a mistake. Ein ledavar soif. You got one chance to speak up. Anyone wants to speak up and correct the Baal Kriya?
On the spot.
Do it. Kol hakavod. And we have a special guy that's in charge to catch those mistakes. Sometimes he misses. Go very quick, you miss the mistake. And someone comes up later and says, I think you said this. And the Baal Kriya will say, you're right. You're right, I made a mistake. I said it wrong. But guess what? It's too late. Even one pasuk. Okay? Even one pasuk. Even one pasuk. You don't go back. You want to correct. You're not making this into a joke.
But if you didn't make the broken, you can go back, right?
Well, to a degree. And we're not going to make him go back with the whole aliyah. If you didn't finish there, make the bracha achrayna. And it's within range. You're within range, then you'll go back. But once you make the bracha achrayna and no one corrected it, that's it. Even though it was clearly a mistake, that's the way life goes. Not everything in this world is perfect. Live with it. I want to go over here. We're over here now. Is it zachar or zecher? So Rabbi Sai, there are definitely shuls, there's no question about it, where the minig is not to repeat anything. That's it. Timche, Ezecher, Amolek, finished. A lot of shuls today, I don't know how this happened. This is a new thing. Chadoshim, Labukarim, I think it's out of ignorance. A lot of shuls today, to be very firm, they lay in the entire pasuk second time. That's the way people do it today. The average shul today in Flatbush, they lay in the whole pasuk. It's not the way we did it back in the day.
No, it's not about courage.
I don't know. In the yeshivas, it seems Elaine, Rav Moshe, and logically, Rav Moshe is a very solid svara, very klar. You don't do that. Likewise, in the Megillah, there are two different things that you repeat. I know in the yeshivas, they lane the whole pasuk again. It's totally not necessary. You lane just the expression. It's more than enough. Not the word, the expression. The expression. Rav Moshe holds that it's not a good idea to repeat the word. You should repeat the expression. Timche es zecher amolek. The next question is, what is there a difference in meaning between some why indeed are we so makbid? Why are we so makbid on this? Because the truth is, we once spent the whole show on this last year, maybe 2 years ago, there is a difference in meaning between these two words. Between Timcha as Zecher Amalek and Timcha as Zecher Amalek. If you read the word Zecher Amalek, it means the Zecher Shel Amalek. If you read the word Timcha as Zecher Amalek, it means Amalek. The word Zecher appears to be a more powerful expression. If you read it Zecher Amalek, what the connotation you get is, it is our duty to obliterate, to erase Amalek, but we will still have a museum, the Amalek Museum. There'll be a museum, and once upon a time there was something called Amalek, who represented the epitome of evil, and Hashem has done with us kindness, and has given us peace in Menucha, and gave us a mitzvah to erase them, and we did this. We had peace, Menucha, Mikol, Oyvecha, Misaviv, and we got up, and we were Mekayim the mitzvah, we obliterated any trace, we obliterated from this earth any trace. So the word Zecher means a trace. I'm not sure it's the right
trace?
Any trace. So, any trace, but...
But a memory is a trace.
Zecher Timcha, no, so it's not a memory. Timcha as Zecher Amalek. Their influence, their effect, but the concept of Amalek, in theory, exists.
The remember as opposed to the remembrance of.
The remember, so Zecher is a strong word. Timcha, no, Zecher in this context is a smichus. The Zecher is the smichus.
Right.
Zecher shel. Zecher is, it is an adjective telling us you should get rid of them to the point where there's no museum because no one even knows what it is. Okay, the Zecher Amalek means the existence. I want you to completely erase the existence of Amalek. To such a degree, there's no museum because there's nothing to make a museum about. It doesn't exist. They're so gone. They're so, the erasure is so great. There's nothing there. That is the Zecher Amalek. Zecher means the remembrance of. You have any photos? You have any photos of this guy? No, I don't have any pictures. Sorry. Any videos? No. There's something called Amalek. I don't really know much about it, but it represents a certain concept. There's nothing in this world. There's not a molecule that we can find that can remind us. But in the Torah, it says there's something called Amalek. Zecher means I never even heard this word. I never even heard of him. I don't even know. I don't. What are you talking? Amalek? Who's Amalek? What is Amalek? Zecher means the existence of a nation, of a principle, a concept called Amalek. So it could be the reason why we're so makbid to repeat this expression, even though throughout the entire Kriya Sator we don't repeat anything, because and there are a lot of things. I'll go through Chumash. I could show you a lot of things in Chumash. There are so many things in Chumash. Even the Megillah itself, there's so many Shin and Schois. That's exactly why. The reason why we're not makbid to repeat that. Take it out of Chumash, take it all the Chumashim. Yeah, in the shul. And you'll see there are a significant number of differences in vowels.
Yep.
And we don't pay attention because they're so minor. The Nuah, how you say it, it's such a minor, it's not ma'akif. 95% of the Shvonos, maybe even 98% of Shvonos, are not ma'akif. Mapikes, the vast majority, I don't think are ma'akif. There are some that are definitely ma'akif.
Right.
Isha versus Isha, okay, are ma'akif. But is every single mapikes ma'akif? I don't know. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. Not necessarily. So we're not so makbid because what's the difference? Not makbid. When it changes the meaning, here, Rabbi Sai, there's a fundamental difference. It's not just.
That's the most
There is not over here. There is such a fundamental difference in the mitzvah d'oraisa. Here it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. One thing you read a pasuk, you know, say isha means a woman, an isha. An isha, her husband, her husband. Oh wow, that's a big difference. Okay, that's a big difference. Is there a mitzvah? Are we discussing a mitzvah d'oraisa? No, we're reading about a halacha. We're reading about something. Here, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of timche es. What? What's the mitzvah? Oh, big difference. Here, the difference in word defines the mitzvah. So this has a whole new link. Zecher Amalek, Zecher Amalek, which very likely has a different flavor of meaning, which translates into a very different mitzvah. It's a very different approach to the mitzvah. It's significant. If it's significant, that is why it's the only place in Kriyas HaTorah where Makbid, in most kilos, not all kilos, some kilos, they don't do this. They don't like this. They don't, I'm telling you, it's a fact. Some, they do not do this.
Right.
They lean either one way or the other. Many Chassidim, they lean Zecher, if I'm not mistaken. Not Zecher, yeah?
If this is the case, so you are obligated to do both, Limchot and Zecher, Limchot and Zecher.
You have a suffix with the halacha is. You have a suffix with the halacha is.
Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about this.
No, it does not. No, it's not in, it's only in the Mishnah Berurah. It is only in the Mishnah Berurah.
They said
Zecher, Zecher.
Why? Let me explain it. By Yavo Amalek, by Zanev Kol HaNechshalim, they were cutting the milot, the berit of the, and throwing out, and they also were suspected to the Mishkav Zachor. Therefore, Hashem said that you should destroy the males of the Amalek.
I'm sorry. What you said does not appear to be correct. No. There's no such gilas. Listen, there are certain things you cross the line.
Rashi also explained like this.
You cross the line. You cross the line. You cross the line. We're learning pshat. It says in the girsa. This is the Gefirah Gemara with led to a churban. This that you just said led to a terrible churban klal yishol. There is only two possible girsais. Zecher Amalek or Zecher. Both of those basically mean the remembrance. It does not mean the males. And that was a churban that came. No. There's no Messiah to say Zohar Amalek. Finished. Okay, everybody, we're running out of time. I want to do more halacha. Everybody say, please. Everybody say. All right, so do you have to come to shul? Let's say you cannot come to shul. Does that mean that you're not able to be kind of the mitzvah deraisa is it a mitzvah deraisa? As I told you, it's a machlokes rishonim. Some say it is, just to remember. Some say it's not, because the mitzvah involves actually doing it. So therefore, it's not necessarily a mitzvah deraisa. Therefore, there are many gedolim that say that it's not proper for the gabbai to learn. Now, we have a halacha. Mitzvahs tzrichos kavana with regard to a mitzvah d'oraisa. When a person does a mitzvah d'rabbanan, you can be a robot. Just make sure your hands do the right things and your lips move the right way, you're done, you yoytzei the mitzvah. When it comes to a mitzvah d'oraisa, we paskin halacha l'maisa shulchan aruch, mitzvah d'oraisa, mitzvahs tzrichos kavana. No one ever gets up for a Shabbos morning. Rabbi said, we're about to learn Parashas Vayetze. Everyone here shav kavana to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. Did you ever hear it? Did you ever see that in shul? You come to shul Parashas Vayetze. The rabbi before the first Aliyah. Rabbi said, everyone shav kavana mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. You never ever saw that. So why then do you see when you come to Rabbi Yisrael, please, why when you come to Shul, do you say we have kavan to be mekayim the mitzvah d'oraisa of zecher, of timche zecher amolek, parsha zochor, the mitzvah of timche zecher amolek. Why are they making an announcement with Kriyas HaTorah? And the answer is because this is d'oraisa, and that's the Rabbanon. By a Rabbanon, mitzvahs einon tzrichin kavana. By a d'oraisa, mitzvahs tzrichin kavana. Wait a minute, whoever told you that it's a deraisa? Whoever said, okay, we're machmir. We hold like the Rishonim that say this deraisa. problem is, there's many we show that hold that if a mitzvah is only midrabanan, and you do the mitzvah with the kavana that it's deoraisa, you've just violated a severe iser deoraisa bal toisef. If you hold like the Rambam, are you a Sephardi? Are you a loyal? Are you loyal to the Rambam? The Rambam holds that it's a drabanon. It's a drabanon. If it's a drabanon, and you say I'm mekayin the mitzvah deraisa, according to the Rambam, you were just over on an iser deraisa of Baal Tosef. Yotza, no, you can't talk now. You can't talk now. You can't talk now. Yotza, yotza, sechoroi behefseidoi. No, quite. Yotza, how then can how then can you make an announcement to the Mekayim, to Mekayim, a mitzvah deraisa, you being over an iser deraisa of Baal Tosef? Hashem did not give you this mitzvah. And you're doing this mitzvah because Hashem, a new mitzvah, Baal Tosef. You're not going to do this. So therefore, many Gedol Yisrael say that when the guy makes the announcement, it's not correct. The announcement should be, everyone should have kavona to be yoytze the mitzvah, period. That way, just in case it's deraisa, mitzvah is shrichas kavona. You're not paying attention. And if it's not deraisa, so what's so terrible having kavona to be yoytze mitzvah drabanan? Nothing so terrible either. You have kavona halavai. We should have kavona on every mitzvah drabanan that we do. So the correct thing would really be to say, everyone should have kavana to be yoytze the mitzvah. And don't add the word deraisa. Because enochinami, if it's deraisa, because don't hate. If it's not deraisa, who needs you to get involved in the machria and being over in Baal Tosef? And let's say, and also go, by the way, going down is also in Baal Tigra. If a mitzvah indeed is there, if a mitzvah is a deraisa, and you have kavana only that it's the rabban, you're over in Baal Tigra. Okay, the next thing people hear they announce in shul is, yet when the person gets the aliyah, you should have kavana that when he makes, you have to be a brocha. You make a brocha, right? You have to have kavana. His brocha, asher bochar banu mikol ha'am, is going to be the brocha on the mitzvah of Parsha Zohar. And when he finishes the brocha, have kavana when he makes asher nosan, the brocha. Okay, here. First thing first. The first bracha, not bad, not a nice chap, because no, every mitzvah you need a bracha. But the end bracha? No such thing. If you're going to tell the oilem to have kavana to be yoytze, when the oile says, asha bochar banu mikol ho'amim, that's going to be the bracha on Parsha Zohar. Birchois ha-mitzvahs. When you take a lulav and esrog, do you make a bracha rishayna? You certainly do. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Hashem, kedushanu b'mitzvot tzivanu al metilas lulav. You shake the lulav. Do you now make another bracha?
No.
Put on tefillin. You make two brachas, right? When you take off your tefillin, do you make a bracha?
No.
Even the Gemara talks about, but no. You don't make a bracha. So since when, even if you're going to tell me that you're supposed to make a bracha on Zohar, okay, make a bracha rishayna. Birchos ha-mitzvahs. Where in the world does it say you should make a bracha acharoina on Parsha Zohar and tell everyone in the shul have kavana to be yoyse with the brachas? All the parishioners say it's not correct. If the gavai wants to announce that there's an opinion that says he's supposed to make a bracha and we're going to listen to the bracha of the oile, you only have to listen to the bracha rishayna. There's no such thing as the bracha acharoina that the oile makes to be a chelek of Zohar for the mitzvah of Zohar. It's only bracha rishayna. Okay, so the bottom. And also, what exactly is the mitzvah? And people, the more you say, the more you're in trouble, because they say everyone should have kavana. Listen, I'll make the worst possible announcement now. Okay, this is the worst possible thing. We're now about to lay Parsha Zohar. Everyone should have kavana to be yoytze the mitzvah de'oraisa of Mechias Amalek. I love that the word zecher, right? Of v'chias amolek. V'chias amolek. And everyone should have kavana when the oiler makes the bracha rishayna and the bracha achrayna. This is going on, the mitzvah. You have kavana for both brachas. So first of all, I mean, many violations. Number one is, who said it's deraisa? And it is deraisa, you say the yakavani, you're messing up the Rambam and other Rishonim. Number two is, the bracha achrayna, I told you to have kavan. Whoever said there's no bracha achrayna for the mitzvah. Number three is, I said the mitzvah of mechias amalek. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to wipe them out, to erase them. Or is the mitzvah to remember that they should be erased? Or maybe there is no mitzvah. What exactly is the mitzvah al tishkach, the mitzvah zohar? There's only like 100 opinions is exactly what the mitzvah is. So in other words, the best thing is to say very little. Rabbi Sai, we're now going to read Parshas Zohar. Everyone should have kavana to be yotze this mitzvah. That's the best thing. We're going to read now Parshas Zohar, which can be found in your Schumish. We're going to read these psukim. And everyone should have kavana to be yotze the mitzvah. I didn't say deraisa. I didn't say derabanan. I didn't say brachos. And I didn't say what the mitzvah is. And then you're safe.
We do.
And then you're safe. There's a story, I told this every year, is that in Rabbi Rotner's shul, there was once a gabbai, it was a real lamdan, and they had the, I don't know today, but the years ago, there were a lot of big, big talmidei chacham udal in that minyan. And one year, the gabbai gets up, and he was sloppy. And he basically says something like I just said to you. Okay? Maybe because he's a chasam sofer, says he make a gold drasha, deraisa, kabroches, and he said the mitzvah is a ganzer pshatel. And the people there, they said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And after davening was over, they ripped him to shreds. And it was like a big zach. You know, wow, they nailed him. Milchamto shel Torah, in good spirit, of course. Okay? Milchamto shel Torah. Milchamto shel Torah. Came next year. It came next year. And almost everyone remembered, oh, Parshas Zohar. Where are we going to go for Shul this Shabbos? We're going back to Rotner. We're going to have some fun today. Milchamto shel Torah. The Gabbai gets up, looks at the audience. Dead silence. Dead silence in shul. Never was there such dead silence. Everyone's waiting to hear what he's going to say. The battle is about to begin. Waiting to hear that announcement. And he's like, Boisai, everyone should have kavana now, whatever they had kavana last year. True story. True story.
Embarrassed the Gabbai. That was the number one.
I once asked Rabbi Scheinberg about that after hearing him talk about this. He said, if you make the announcement any longer, they're all going to tune out anyway.
All right. Now, what about Noshim? So are women chayv in this mitzvah? Not so simple. It's very complicated because if the goal is to kill, then Noshim, Chazal say, are not b'nei Muhammad. But mitzad sheni, who says that's the mitzvah is actually to go to war and to kill? Maybe the mitzvah is the remembrance. The primary is remembrance. And when it comes to Muhammad's mitzvah, the Rambam says afilu kala mechuposa has to go to battle. Does that mean she bears arms? Does that mean she supports? She serves in a role of support. Whatever it is, she's part of the mitzvah. So it's not so simple. But zman groma. How often do you have to remember? We don't say the other zichiros. Do you ever have a Shabbos? Do we dedicate a Shabbos for Zohar, Eis Asher Osa Hashem Elokech Lemiriam Baderech B'tzeischem Mimitz? Do you ever have a Shabbos? Remember that?
Yes.
What Shabbos is that?
What?
Miriam.
I don't know.
Shlach.
I don't know.
Okay, do we say, do we have a Shabbos? What about for the Egel? What about Shabbos? Was really every single week we have Shabbos. Okay, but Yitzias Mitzrayim every single day, multiple times. So why only this mitzvah? Why only when it comes, our mayor has a whole long list of more zechiros. He has a very long davening. Mayor has a lot of things to say. Benutam, you wear your...
Not from
What?
Those are from the
So he hasn't discriminated against the Nevi'im. What's wrong with the Nevi'im? He has a very long davening. There's Rabbeinu Tam, Shemush Rabba, Rav Ravitzvillin. He has all these zechirois. Meir is very busy. So why don't we? So it's very simple. It's the only mitzvah that it says, Lo Tishkoch. The reason why we have a special Shabbos is not because of the word Zohar. It's funny, the real title should be not Parshas Zohar, it should be Parshas Lo Tishkoch. Because the only reason why we have this parsha and we don't have a special Shabbos for the Egel and a special Shabbos for Miriam and a special Shabbos for the Mon and other Zechirois is because it says Loi Tishkoch.
There's also Tishkoch by Matan Har Sinai. Look at it.
Yeah. Raki Shomer Luchoshmor Nashkomer Pen Tishkoch. Not the same. Pen Tishkach is not low. Low is a command.
I think maybe he means there's a pasuk Zachor al Tishkach Heis Asher Asol Lekecha. Oh, that's by Miriam. It says
Al. No, the commentators say is Al. Right. It says by Miriam. It says by the Meraglim. It says by the Meraglim Al Tishkach. It says by Matan Torah Pen Tishkach. But it only says by Amalek, Lo Tishkoch. Lo Tishkoch is a command. Is a command. Why once a year? Why once a year? Chazal said that a mace is nishtakach min halev achar yud beis chodesh. Chazal's assessment is shicha is 12 months. Is it 12 months to the day? I went to a very long shachter. You have a very beautiful shiur on this topic. Is it 12 months to the day? Every year, you know, every year, you know, you have, what does it mean in 12 months? You know, every year, you have a leap year, forget a leap year. Even when you have an Ibi, a year, some months, there are 30 days, 29 days. And also, by the way, Parashat Zohar is on Shabbos. So even in a year, it's on Shabbos. So it all depends on when Purim falls out. So you can go from year to year, it can be more than exactly 1 year from it, even when it's not a leap year. Certainly when it's a leap year, there are 13 months. So you have to go and have to do it again. And the Parshas Ki Tsetse, we never heard of such a thing. A year is a year, approximately a year, calendar year. Approximately 12 months. There's no need in halacha to be so precise to the exact day.
No, but when I was in the hospital once on Zohar, they told me you could be yosa and kisei tzei.
Right. Yeah.
Sure. But absolutely. If a person can't come to shul on Shabbos, so you can be yotze with parshas b'shalach.
Right.
Parshas b'shalach in the last aliyah of Milchemes Amalek, and we lay this on these 9 pesukim on Purim. On Purim. And then if you can't go to shul on Purim, then the Megillah itself, the reading of the Megillah itself, and if a person...
You need a minion?
No, you do not. You do not need a minion. You do not. Do you need a kosher Sefer Torah?
Not necessarily.
I mean you have to read it from a script, from a text. We are Mahadir, we have a kosher. We do all of the bells and the whistles. We have a Dumber of Am, 10 people with a minion, the best Sefer Torah, and we make announcements, Stav Kavana. These are all beautiful, beautiful Hidurim, which of course should be done to the Chivav of the Mitzvah and the spirit of the Mitzvah. But if a person is not able to come to Shul, it is perfectly fine to open up a Siddur and to read the words from the Siddur. And the most important thing is to know the translation of the words, like we went over today, just to know the basic translation of the words. Amalek is evil. They have to be removed from the world. And we do, like I said, once a year. Now, what about having a special reading for women later in the afternoon?
Yeah.
This is a very controversial halakhic issue. What are the issues? Rav Palm was very upset with this.
Right.
I heard my own ears. Rav Palm used to talk about this every year. Rav Palm held, Chazal have only allowed us to take out a Sefer Torah and lane publicly, selective times, Monday, Thursday, Shabbos morning, Mincha. It's not proper to take out a Sefer Torah just on a whim and to read. And if you do, and if you do want to do it, it's catch 22. If you do want to go and take out a Sefer Torah and read to Mekayim the mitzvah, the Raisa, mitzvah, where of Bechias HaMolek, you need 10 men. It's not, in other words, if you have a minyan, if you're going to lane for women from Parasha Zohar, 10 men should be present when the reading is done. But that creates a new problem.
Right.
Because once already you have 10 men, now you are l'choira required to make a bracha, asher, to give out 3 aliyos, asher bochar banu. So we never heard of doing that. The only time you lay in is Shabbos morning, not by mincha, not in the afternoon. The minhag ha'olam is to be lenient. The minhag ha'olam is to take out a Sefer Torah and to have a special reading for women from a Sefer Torah without any brachos, and not necessarily to be machmir that there should be 10 people, 10 men present. This is the minhag ha'olam, to be lenient. You can have it in the afternoon whenever you want, just for the women, and it's fine. However, those that there are those poskim that take issue with this, and you'll definitely find shuls, batei kenesiyos, where the rabbi tells the people, we do not do that here. What? Lakewood, I don't know. I really honestly do not know what goes on in Lakewood. I do not know. But there are definitely, in Flatbush, it's done, every shul in Flatbush it's done. It's very popular in Flatbush. And in the yeshivas that I know of, they do not do it. And the rabbi will say, if a woman cannot make it to shul, just do it at home. Read it from a chumash. It's just as good.
Right.
We don't do this. We don't do this here in shul to go and take out a Sefer Torah and to read because of all the halachic problems. And one last thing, one last point, Rabbi Sai. This is something which I'm telling you, I don't want to leave you off on a sour note and you get angry at me, but I really believe this to be very true. And I'm no doubt that people disagree. And I'll give you a story, not a nice story, but just to bring out the point, I think it's important. What are we trying to accomplish when we read our Molek? Well, obviously, we're talking about the key is the low Yorei Elokim. That's really what's front and center. What's front and center about the mitzvah, the reading of Amalek is the low Yorei Elokim. If a person does not have in his life Yirah Shamayim, it can, Rachmana Litzlan, lead to a life of where, of cruelty, of no limitations of what man can do. All of the crimes against humanity are rooted in Amalek, and the root problem with Amalek is v'lo yorei Elokim. It all starts and ends with that. That is the goal to understand when you lay in Amalek. There's another element which all the commentators do write, and they write, why is Amalek so evil? They cooled off the tub. And what does this mean? Klal Yisrael came out of Egypt. They the aura, they possessed a dignity, an aura of invincibility. They are the Am HaNifra. They were Mekabel the Torah. They were special. They had this aura, this glow to them. And along came a nation, and they told the world, they're nothing special. Look, we could attack them. In the process of attacking them, they commit suicide. But they did gain in that our aura of invincibility was diminished. That is an act of cruelty, horrible, horrible cruelty. Now I want to tell you a nasty story, and unfortunately I see these type of stories all the time, and I really believe that this is the message of Amalek for us, amongst us. A guy was bragging to me the following thing. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He was bragging to me that many, many years ago, this person is obviously very, I don't really know anything about, too much about, but he told this to me firsthand. So I couldn't believe, firsthand. Many years ago, many, long time, probably must have been even, at least 20 years ago, the way he's telling me, he had a lot of money, and he decided he wants to make his own koilel in Lakewood. Own koilel. And he was going to pay Yungel Light a lot of money. He wanted his own koilel. So he did. He put into motion. He put out a kol kore. I want my own little koilel. And people joined. and they had a starting day. He gets a call from the Lakewood Yeshiva, and they say, we would like to speak to you. And they said, we heard, Rabbi Isai, we heard you're opening up a kollel. You know, we object. No, this is Lakewood. This is the whole city. Again, this is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
This is our city. And I'm putting words in their mouth. I really do not know what they said. I'm just telling you the essence of the way he related to me. I'm just saying words, which are probably, I'm exaggerating for the purpose of illustration. You get the idea, in 1 minute, we're out of time. And they basically said to him, excuse me, sir, this is Lakewood. We invested here in this community our blood. Rav Aaron Kol is schnorred to go put this place together. This is one community, one central authority. And you just don't go open up your own kollel in town. This is not like a pizza shop. No, you have a pizza shop? Oh, I want to open my own pizza shop. Is there enough business for you? Yes. Okay. So, choshe mishpat. If there's enough business for me and there's enough business for you, you have no exclusive rights on pizza shops. If you have a pizza shop and someone wants them, say, you know, this is not a pizza shop here. This is Torah. We have an Ir HaTorah. We've established it. We object. So this guy, he says to me, he told them, no different than a pizza shop. Who do you think you are? It's a free world. It's a free country. We live in America. You do whatever you want. You have your kollel. I have my kollel. I have more money than you. I'm going to pay my guys a lot of money on time. I want my kollel. So the Lakewood Yeshiva was very hurt, very upset. They were fighting. So this fellow, he says, I'll tell you what. Let's go to a Din Torah. Let's go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It's 20 years ago. So they said, fine. The next day he gets a call. We did not go. We did not. He doesn't know. He says, we decided we're dropping the issue. We don't want to go to a Din Torah. We're Moichel. Gesunte hate, yes. We totally drop. Please have your kollel. And in fact, we would like to meet the kollel and give you divrei bracha and be mechazek you. That was the message. He told me, Arayom Azeh has no idea what happened from the time that contentious conversation, they're going to go to the entire into the next day where they said, Gesunte hate, you could have it, and we adraba, we want to come, be mechazik you and give you covet and give you divrei bracha. He's telling me this story. Now, and he's very happy with himself. Now that's from his perspective. Now, I'm standing here and I'm thinking to myself, fast forward 20 years later, today, Lakewood is no longer the Lakewood Yeshiva. Lakewood today is a major, major city. Mm-hmm. There are only about 1,000 kollelim there. Every yeshiva already has opened up their own branch. Come on, every single yeshiva has their own branch. No one's asking permission from the Lakewood yeshiva to open up a branch of this place and that place and this chayt, that chayt, the whole world. Like I told you the joke, Lakewood is like Gehenna. Eventually, everyone ends up there. Okay, everyone has, so, okay, fine. And it's obvious when something gets very, very big, that's the derech ha'olam. That's the way it goes in this world. In this world, that's the way it goes. When things get very, very big, you can't have a monopoly. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
It would have happened anyway. There's no question, there's no way in the world, the rate of growth, the population growth, that the Lakewood can have a havamina. They're going to have a hold. They're going to have a tzniyus in the whole city? Of course. But to me, this guy is smiling, and he's very proud of himself. And to me, I'm saying to myself, listen, the result would be, you could do, but you were the first? You were the first one to cool off the tub? Are you crazy? Just wait a couple of years. It'll be mutter. You're proud of yourself? As I was thinking in my mind, you're proud of yourself that you were the one to cool off the top. Here at Lakewood, they have this image of themselves. We're the Ir HaTorah. It's our city. which everyone knows is impossible to maintain. There's going to come a point in time where it's a free-for-all. But don't be the first. Don't be the one to jump into the tub and cool off the tub. Why would you want to be the first? Are you crazy? I really feel, I told you, that this was an act of Amalek. Really, that's how I feel about it. Because that is what Amalek did. Amalek, Klal Yisrael, what, we're going to be tzaddikim forever? And there's not going to be any problems? Along came Amalek. They were the ones to cool off the tub. If it wouldn't have been Amalek, it would have been someone else. We would have done it to our, we have shot ourselves in the foot. We have done it to ourselves anyway at some point in time. Look, we worship the eagle. We're miraculous, right? We're not invincible. We'll anyway shoot ourselves in the foot. But Amalek had the gresta hano. We're going to be the ones that are going to cool off the top. That's a horrible, horrible thing. And the Torah says, Zochor, Eis Asher Oslucha Amalek, Al Tishkach. My point is, we look at Amalek, Goyim versus us. The Goyim, they want to kill us, the Holocaust, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, the Zichram, and all the horrors, 100%. Zochor al Tishkach. Timche ezecher Amalek v'lo yorei Elokim. That's the Ikar. But there's a message in Amalek for us also. And the message is, when you see that someone has the limelight, and this happens, I'm telling you all the time, Maisim b'chol yoyim, someone has the limelight, let him have it. Let him have it. They're jealous, exactly, they're jealous. Maisim b'chol yoyim, it's a very big nesoyon. Mm-hmm. If someone has the limelight for a few minutes, let him have it. What do you have to go and cool it down? What do you got to take it away? A guy's having a bar mitzvah. And you want to make a kiddush for some event. I see this on the internet. You want to make a kiddush for some type of simcha. You have to make the kiddush this week. When the kid's having his bar mitzvah, this guy's having, let the kid have the limelight. What do you have to go on this simcha, this guy? Make your kiddush next week, in 2 weeks. You don't fargin because there's going to be a lot of people this week for the simcha. So I'll be able to show off at this guy's simcha. I mean, this is one in a million examples. Hashem gives everyone, everyone has their moment in the limelight. When someone has the limelight, to go in and to cool off the tub is not a Yiddish leader. This is what Amalek did. And I feel very strongly about this, in that is one of the important lessons to learn from Zohar, Ace, Asher, Asel, Amalek. Amalek cooled you down, and they were proud of it. Besides the fact, V'lo yori Elokim, and all goes totally zeh b'zeh. Okay, so we've gone to the laws. Amalek, Mir Shem, tomorrow we'll go on to something else.